good evening. Welcome to our Friday night podcast here at the City on the Hill. I'm Pastor Danny. I've got my son Benji here, my wife Julie here, and we're going to be talking with you about remnant things, things that involve us as the remnant becoming who we need to be to please God so that we can bring Jesus back. Isn't that exciting to even think that we're even talking about that? Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. I take him at his word. And so we're going to prepare for him and do whatever needs to happen. Praise the Lord. Well, we just have come through the Easter season. We are now headed toward Pentecost. And in the middle of that, God wants to speak a lot of things into our lives. And he wants to get specific about some things.
In other words, it's not time to stagnate. It's time to get to work.
It's time to get to work. I've been saying that ever since our Good Friday service. God did mighty things. If you were not here and you did not see the Good Friday service, you need to go online and watch that service because God did some really incredible things here. And so now as we move forward, let's see what God wants to talk about for our podcast this evening. As we came to sit down, we all kind of had the same idea of what was in our hearts. And the thought that came to me and that we were just talking about is that Christians, talking about Christians now, that's what this is for. This is not a podcast for sinners. This is a podcast for Christians. Christians struggle in their lives unnecessarily. And this goes for not just a vast majority. This goes for the vast, vast, vast majority. A lot of times we talk about the 1%. Well, this is the 99%. This is the 99%. They struggle getting past their own ideas and their own desires and their own opinions and their own thoughts. And they never get to that place of realizing that God doesn't care about those things. And that, listen, I know that sounds harsh right off the bat. Here we're starting, and everyone's like, "Man, you're already harsh." But it's the truth.
Either they turned it off or they're intrigued now.
Well, right, it's the truth. God doesn't care about those things. He just doesn't. God, you have to understand that God has a plan. He has had an eternal plan since before time began, and that plan has never changed. Yes. God has a will. That will does not change. God has, this is the one that people don't like, he has a law. I'm not talking about the law of Moses. He has a law, and that law of heaven, in the great courtroom of heaven that I like to talk about, it does not change. God has, he has a way, the Bible, I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture. This is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, and it is in verse 8. This is God speaking now. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Now, if you just stop and just think about that for a moment, and because we sit there while we're driving in the car, we sit there when we're trying to go to sleep at night, we sit there while we're on our phones, we sit there all the time, and we have all these great thoughts, and we're so proud of ourselves at our great thoughts that we've had. And we never, God's people, and it's been the plan of the enemy, God's people never understand this one little simple verse. They use it. They quote this verse. They quote it when it's convenient for them, and it fits their narrative of, well, you know, God's thoughts are not my thoughts. But they never understand how that is supposed to be overarching your entire life. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Wait a minute. It gets even more. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. I want you again to think about that. God says, you don't think like me and you don't do like me. Wow. I could just drop the mic and shut it down and say, all right, that was a good podcast just after that right there. Because that is such a strong principle that the devil has deceived God's people in. Now, most Christians would say, oh, well, of course, that's great. I accept that. But you don't accept it if you don't live it out. You only accept something that you've chosen to live out. And I have met and come across very few people that claim to be Christians that live that verse out, where they have so internalized and assimilated into their life and then acted out of their life the idea that, wait a minute, God's thoughts are not my thoughts. Now wait, let's take into account really what God is saying with this. When he says your thoughts are not my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are not my ways, what I'm glad we're here where people can't you know throw tomatoes at me when I say this. But what he's really saying is, I really don't care about your thoughts. I really don't care about your I don't care about your ways. God knows that he knows our frame. He knows what we're made of. He knows that we do fall short because we are not God. He knows we fall short. But the idea behind this is you should always be striving to walk in God's thoughts. You should always be striving to walk in his ways. Did Jesus not say strive to go through the narrow gate? Mm-hmm. What do you think he's talking about? Does the Bible not say in both the Old and the New Testaments, does it not say, be holy for I am holy? It says that this is saying the same thing. If you really understood what this is saying, it's saying the exact same thing. It is saying, you're not like me, so you need to begin to try to be more like. You'll never be just like, I'm God. But you need to start to try to know that my thoughts are better than your thoughts. My ways are better than your ways. And you'll never understand it because you're not God. But that's what faith is. Faith says, I don't understand God's ways. I'm still going to walk in them. Faith says, I don't understand God's thoughts, but I'm still going to live by it in that manner. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent. And you understand what God's trying to say a little bit better now. He's trying to say, when you do it my way, it works. It brings forth the desired result that I have purposed and that pleases me.
You know, that ties in very well with what Matthew 6 says about the Father knows you need all these things, clothes, yes, food, money, yes. But first seek the kingdom of God. That's your job. I was reminded by our producer, my brother, recently that my grandfather said that we're so thing-oriented.
Yes.
But
yes.
God doesn't care about that.
Yes. God doesn't care about the things. He's promised the things. He said all these things will be given to you in that same scripture. That's literally what he said. All these things will be given to you. But you see, because we think like humans, we pursue the things. Mm-hmm. We pursue the things in life. And I'm going to tell you, don't fool yourself. The best of the Christians do it. They pursue the things. They don't pursue the kingdom of God. Because if you're pursuing the kingdom of God, the only thing that matters is bringing Jesus back. That's the only thing that matters. You go read the book of Revelation and you can come up with a trillion different ideas. But the one idea that you should be coming out of it is, let's bring Jesus back. That's the one thing that matters. Let's bring Jesus back. And if you're not trying and living your life in such a way to please God the way Enoch did, this is now going back to my messages set many weeks ago, but if you're not living like Enoch and walking with God, if you're not living like Elijah, where neither one of them saw death, God said, they're doing it. They're doing it. They're not going to die because they're doing it. If you're not living like that to bring Jesus back, then you're not doing these scriptures. You're not understanding that his thoughts are better. They're higher. This is such a poor way of saying it, but I'm going to say it anyway. They're more important than your thoughts. His ways are more important than your ways. What you want really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. God's promised the things. He has promised to his covenant people. And again, there's something I don't bring up a lot anymore, but that was the purpose behind the first book that I wrote, is that there's a covenant that we have with God. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're walking in that covenant. It means that you can walk in that covenant if you're a Christian.
How can you really exalt God if you haven't accepted that God's ways are more important than yours?
Well, and that's, you see, that's the thing. And if you accept that his ways are more important and better, then you'll walk in that blood covenant the way Abraham did. You'll walk in that covenant with God. You'll walk in it, and God says, okay, because you're walking in my ways, and you know that my ways, you might not understand it, but because you know that my ways are better and more important, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to obligate myself to heal you and to prosper and take care of you because you're walking in my ways.
How about this? Many will call on me, few will exalt me. Those that call on him are calling on him for the purposes in their mind. They're saying, can you do this for me the way I want it? The few that exalt him have accepted that what God does and his ways are more important.
Amen.
And have given it all
to him.
Well,
I think that it all boils down to one of his biggest thoughts and ways would be surrender.
Yeah.
The principle of surrender. And the principle of surrender, it encompasses everything. We're talking about the things. God, he wants to give us the things. You know, whether it's possessions or whether it's, you know, money to go and enjoy, you know, something, some recreation or something. He wants us to have those things, but we surrender when we just drop them at a hat to go and do the things that please the Lord. And we show God when we just set it aside for no explanation whatsoever to go and show God, to revere him, to honor him, to show him that we're surrendered to your will, and nothing that we have, no possessions, no family,
Amen.
No nothing that we have means anything apart from serving God and pleasing him and doing the things that we know by his, through his word, that we need to do to revere him and to honor him.
It goes back to something that I hit on every time I speak. I maybe don't really bring it to the surface every time, though, but it goes back to understanding this one thing that God requires. If you understand that God requires, then all of a sudden you're like, okay, let me try to think. And again, please know what I mean by this. I don't mean that we could never be like God, but you have to say, because God requires and I want to please him, let me start to try to think like him. Let me start to try to do like him, because I know that I can please God better if I'm thinking the way he thinks. If I'm, you know, again, this is such a sorry example, so please forgive me for using this example. But my kids, who are now all grown up, but I used to tell them all the time when they're doing something, I would say, listen, think about how I would do it and do it that way. If you're doing, if I'm asking you to do something, I would always say, think about how I would do it and then do it that way. Because they always say, Dad, we did our best, and you're not happy with it. And I would say, I don't want your best. I want you to do it my way. That's the way I would always say that to them. I would say, I know you worked hard. I would say, I can see how hard you tried to clean this room. I see how hard you tried to clean the kitchen or whatever it is. And I would say, I see that. And they would say, then why are you upset? I said, because you didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it. And that's an earthly way of understanding that we try so hard sometimes. And it's gotten to the point that some people have tried so hard and they say, but I don't understand now what God wants. So they throw their hands up and they say, well, I believe in God. I love God, but I'll never be able to do it the way he wants. So he must not care what I do. I'll just do things the way I want to do it because God must not really care. That's what the church has become. When what God is trying to say is, no, your goal should be to please me. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. A part of diligently seeking God is seeking to say, I want to think like you, God. Diligently seeking, God, I want to act and do like you, God. Understanding, God, what I'm thinking doesn't matter. What I want doesn't matter. What I need doesn't matter. You've already promised me the things if I seek first the kingdom of God. You know, there's other scriptures we could get into. Jesus said, I've been talking a lot about this one recently, but he said, listen, if you love mother or father or son or daughter or husband and wife, if you love any of them more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. I want you to think about what he just said. I want you to think about your life and who and what you give your time and your effort to.
What you seek first.
Is it a job? How much time do you put into your job versus how much time do you put into diligently seeking God? You tell me who you love more. Is it a family member? Is it a child? How many people do I know that they pour their lives into their children all under the guise of, well, I'm doing this for my children's sake, but that... You tell me who you love more. Are you diligently seeking God or are you diligently seeking your children? And you can translate that to so many different areas of life. Jesus said, if you love them more than me, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy. And here's another, and I'm going to read this one. This is from Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 28, this is what Peter said. Peter began to say to Jesus, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this lifetime, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers, children, and lands. With persecutions, because there's always that.
The ones you left are going to persecute you.
Well, very good.
That's just what came very to my good. Mind.
A hundredfold in this lifetime. And wait a minute, you say, well, what does it really matter? And in the age to come, amen. Eternal life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You mean I have to deny all of that to get eternal life? Boy. The Bible says there are few who find it. And every week I'm learning, and it's hard. It's so hard. So hard. But I'm learning how few it might be. Because he says, there is no one who's left these things that they're going to get a hundredfold in this life and eternal life. And so I come back to our main thought, our main idea today, and that is his thoughts are not our thoughts. our ways are not his ways. We've got to learn that that affects every last little tiny to the largest areas of our lives. There's nothing that that doesn't affect. There's nothing that that does should not cause us to sit and say, wait a minute. Are there areas in my life that my thoughts rule the day? And let me just say this. This is the part that really I hope gets your attention. That the devil has a way of making our thoughts and our ways seem awfully close to what we think God, well, surely this is what God would want. Surely this is so, this even fits. It fits. I found this scripture and it kind of fits under this scripture. You see, that's what the scribes and Pharisees did with Jesus. They said, well, we've got these scriptures and our idea of doing things fits these scriptures so good that we know that our thoughts are God's thoughts.
The way my dad put it when he told me about that, he says, the devil knows what little buttons to push in your life.
Very much so. And so the Pharisees and scribes, they said, we've got all the scriptures backing us up. We've got all the scripture that's all backing us up. And we know that this means that our thoughts are God's thoughts. And we're walking in his ways. And we know that we're the seed of Abraham because we literally have his blood running through our veins. And we've got the scriptures backing us up to prove it. And Jesus had to look at them and say, there's going to come a time that I'm going to look at you and say, I never knew you. I never knew you. He literally looked at them and said to them, you're not the seed of Abraham. And they said, yes, we are. And Jesus said, no. If you were Abraham's seed, you would do what Abraham did. You see, and you say, what did Abraham do? He did the things that God thought, even when it was hard, even when it meant taking the promised son to the mountain to sacrifice him. Oh, God would never, God gave me that son. God gave him to me. He would never ask me to do something like that. You don't think Abraham, that didn't run through his mind? But Abraham realized that God's ways were higher and his thoughts were greater. And so I encourage you today to take stock of your life where it's at, to take stock of every little tiny area. Whenever you think anything, don't sit there and try to find a scripture that proves that your thought is a godly thought. Don't do that anymore. Start with the godly thoughts. Start with the scripture. Start with that and let that birth God's thoughts and God's ways out of your life. But we do the opposite. We think something, we say, okay, how can I show that this pleases God? You know it's true. You know it is. You know, I can see some people looking at the camera. Don't look at the camera like that. You know it's true. Or I guess yours isn't the camera. Yours is your phone or tablet or television. Don't look at it like that. You know it's true. That's what we do. We have a thought, a feeling, a want, a desire, a need. And we say, oh, well, God says he wants to give us the desires of our heart. So let me figure out how this fits. That's not how that scripture is supposed to be used, though. His thoughts are greater. We need to get out of our flesh thinking. If it's coming from the flesh, it's not of God. Paul said, don't even look at the natural. Don't even look at the seen. Look at the unseen. In everything in our lives, everything in mine and my wife's lives, we want to be birthed from the supernatural, birthed from the spirit world. If it's birthed from this world, that's not going to get you anywhere. We want everything birthed from the heart of God. And that's what the remnant does. And that's how we here at the City on the Hill, along with the remnant across this plant, that's how we're going to bring Jesus back. Let me end by saying this. Again, I use this all the time, but I believe it's very fitting to close this service with. They said, how do we pray? How do we pray, Lord? Jesus said, let me tell you how you pray. Pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not pray that your needs are met on earth. Not pray that your desires come to pass on earth. Not pray the things that you think and do in life are blessed by God on earth. No, pray whatever's going on in heaven comes down in our lives.
Right.
And you see, when you recognize how it works, that means you're going to be healthy. There's no sickness in heaven. So if it's in heaven, you say, God, I want to live just like it is in heaven. I want your will, your perfect will. God doesn't want anyone sick. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no poverty in heaven. But it starts with surrendering your will and saying, God, your ways, your thoughts are greater. I don't want to think anymore. God knows my heart. I've gone before the Lord many times and said, God, I don't have a will. I don't have a will. My will is gone. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. If you want to be a part of that, you need to come and join us. Benji, tell them everywhere they can see us and come when they can come.
All right. We got a regular Sunday morning, 11 a.m. services. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. services. Those are in person and on all online social platforms with an occasional difference. At Pastor Danny's discretion, there will be occasional Wednesday nights where you'll walk in, you'll see a sign that says to go to the back, and we meet for ARC encounters. Our online functions include devotions every Monday, Thursday, Saturday at 8 p.m. online. Remnant 101s with me every Tuesday at 8 p.m. online. Calling the Remnant podcasts every Friday at 8 p.m. online. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Our podcasts are available on Spotify, wherever else you get your podcasts. You can tell Siri and Alexa to play the latest Calling the Remnant podcast. And like you said at the beginning, we're on our 50-day march to Pentecost Sunday.
Praise the Lord. Well, let me end with this. I hear things, my wife reads things to me from online from people, and I sit there and I shake my head and I'm like, how in the world do they get that out of the Word of God? Huh. But that's because it's not starting in the spirit world. It's starting in their mind. And yes, they're using scriptures. They're using scriptures. But it's not starting in the spirit world or in the Holy Spirit world. It's starting in their mind, the world of their mind. And they'll filter those scriptures through the world of their mind. And when they're done, they're like, oh, that scripture justifies exactly what I want to do. It tells me it's okay for me not to be at God's house. It tells me it's okay to follow my kids' athletics around. That's more. It tells me it's okay. And they'll come up with all types of reasons about family and the desires of our heart and all types of things. And God looks down and he says, I never said that. That's not what I meant when I said that, because they don't understand. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. They're higher. His ways are higher than our ways. Praise the Lord. God bless you.